don't make the mistake of looking upon this psalm as just another psalm, another song. It's special psalm. I call it the song of holy confidence. Holy confidence. Because it declares from verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. To verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It declares from that first verse to the last verse that whatever happens, the Lord's people are happy, secure in Him. For God is our refuge, He is our strength, and He is our help in time of trouble. One of the old hymn writers wrote this, "A sure refuge, our God is He, a timely shield and weapon. Our help is He, He'll set us free, whatever ill may happen. And were this world with troubles filled, all eager to devour us, our souls to fear will never yield. Our enemies cannot overpower us, because God is our refuge, our strength, and our help." That's the first verse. God is our refuge. Now, let others trust in whom they will. Let them trust in what they please. But Jehovah God is our refuge from the avenger of blood, like the cities of refuge of old, to which the manslayer fled, and he was safe. He's our refuge. He's our hiding place. The Lord God is our strength to exercise faith, our strength to walk in love, and I rest in hope. Faith, hope, and love. Now abideth these three. And He's our faith. He's our object of love. He's our hope. And He's our help. It says, come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And He's our help. Inwardly and outwardly. Soul and body, now and forever, the Lord is my help and my strength, and He's my refuge. Now watch this word in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. There's seven grand and glorious names of Jehovah in the Scripture. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But there's one of those names that we forget so often, Jehovah Shammah. It's found in Ezekiel, the last chapter, the last verse. Turn to Ezekiel, the last chapter, the last verse. This is one of the great and grand and glorious names of our God, Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48, the last verse. He's a very present help. Very present help. The Scripture says, where shall I flee from His presence? I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. He's there. Wherever I go, He's there. In verse 35 of Ezekiel 48, talking about this city of God, the church, His bride, His people, His temple. Verse 35, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of that city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is present. Look in your margin. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Very present help. God is our refuge God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Therefore, look at verse 2. Therefore, the psalmist is fond of this word, therefore. Therefore will not we fear when true believers in Christ Jesus rest in Him as their refuge, their strength, and their help at all times, even in the worst of times, even in the most difficult of times. Jehovah God is our covenant God. Jehovah God is our Redeemer, Savior. Jehovah God is our strength and our comfort. And he mentions here four terrible, troublesome times. Now look at the next two verses. And let me precede it with this. God's my refuge. God's my strength. Jehovah God. Jehovah my Savior. He's my help. Therefore, I'm not going to be afraid. Though the earth be removed. Number one. Though, number two, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Number three, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Number four, though the mountains shake with the swelling of those waters. What is he talking about? The earth be removed. Well, that sounds like the end of the world when God destroys the old heavens and old earth, and the earth melts with a fervent heat and passes away, and the mountains pass away, and there is no more sea. But I wouldn't fear that. That would be a glad day. That would be a wonderful day. That would be a magnificent day when God, when Christ comes again, and I make all things new. Let the earth go away. I'll be glad. It's nothing but a blot on God's universe. Let the mountains perish and be swallowed up by the sea. But this is now. God is my refuge, my strength, their present help in time of trouble. This is my troubles here. My troubles. Your troubles. These are traumatic times. These are severe, heart-rending, faith-shaking troubles. Now, some have been through these. Some of you have been through these times. Some of you are there now. Some of you haven't been through them. Some of you will be through them. Some of you may be spared. But here's what they are. Though the earth be removed. What is this right now? Earth be removed. I tell you what this is. This is earthly supports. This is earthly securities. This is earthly foundations from which we draw some help and confidence. For example, a man came up to me a few weeks ago in another city, 59 years old. My company's shutting down. I'm out of work. My benefits are gone. My salary's gone. Oh, they'll keep me up a little while, but I'm out in the cold. What am I going to do? Earthly supports, earthly securities, earthly foundation be removed. What am I going to do? A dear wife, husband dies. Like that. Her support, her foundations, her security is gone. Got three children. What am I going to do? A husband, my age, you older men, wife dies. I'm alone. Man came in my study. Martha, you remember this, man from West Virginia. He sat down just weeping like a baby. He said, Pastor, he said, my wife and I have been watching you on television. And she died. He said, what am I going to do? We've been together for 45 years. I never went to barn, she didn't go with me. We never went to the neighbors, she didn't go with me. I never been anywhere without her. She's my support, my strength. I don't know where she is. Where's my wife, preacher? You remember that? He was just destroyed. Foundation gone. Earth removed. I tell you, I visited a dear lady in a rest home last week. in another city. I've known her for 25 years. Worked in a bank. Sharp, intelligent. Been a widow for all that time. Husband died, she's 54. But she had a nice home, lived alone, children, grown children, grandchildren. And all that's taken away. And I went to see her in this rest home, and there she stood, little white-haired lady, she's just 2 years older than I am. Surrounded by strangers, sleeping on a single cot in a little room down at the end of the hall. Nobody she knows anywhere around her. Earthly foundation stripped. Her home gone. Everything gone. Now listen. We will not fear though the earth be removed. And I'm talking about earthly support, strength, and foundation. I've seen children sit in my home, two children sat in my home one time, their parents are getting a divorce, and they said, what are we going to do? Don't they care about us? What about us, preacher? Their security's gone. Like a little child, you take your security blanket away from him, and he'll cry all night because he's never slept without it. And that little fellow's never slept in his room without knowing his daddy's next door. In another room, his mother. Now they're gone. Tell me about it. That's earthly foundation to be removed. But we won't fear. God's my refuge. God's my strength. God's my help. And listen to this. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What are these mountains? They're landmarks. Rising high above the plains, the mountains. The mountains are guides. You ought to go to Iowa sometimes. It's flat as this floor. I couldn't anymore drive up there. I'm lost up there. All the roads look alike, cornfields and roads. Nothing but cornfields and roads. You could be heading in any direction if the sun wasn't shining. I don't even know where he is going. But we have mountains, and the Holy Land has mountains. Mount Moriah was one of the main mountains. Landmarks. Where you could lift my eyes to the hills. Keep your eyes on the mountains. They'll guide you. Guide a wandering pilgrim to the place of rest. What are our mountains? What are our landmarks? They're our spiritual guides, our preachers and elders and teachers. They're our church. What would you do without this place here? Where you're fed, where you're taught. Well, just what we're doing this morning, reading what we're reading, teaching what we're teaching. What would you do if you had no place to go? This preacher's dead. This church is gone. Well, a lot of people over this country, a lot of the mountains have been removed and carried into the sea, and it's all flat. There's no instruction. There's no teachers. Land and sea is the same. Everybody does what looks right in his own eyes. You listen to these folks on television discussing all these different things that they don't know anything about. What are we going to do? The Lord's my refuge. The Lord's my strength. And the Lord's my help in that time of trouble. And he'll guide me. And he'll teach me. And he'll keep me. Though the mountains be carried away into the depths of the sea. And then verse 3, it says, God may not continue. I hear by me and pray this ministry will continue. Well, God may not continue it. He may. I pray he will, but he may not. But he'll continue. He'll continue. He'll be your refuge and your strength and your help. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. What is that? You know, there's nothing more peaceful than still waters. This is what I believe this is saying. A river or a sea is so pleasant when it's smooth and still. And when we're young and healthy and have our strength, like many of you young people sitting out here, you're young and you're walking by still waters all the time. The still waters in here and all about you. But when our physical bodies grow old and they are the targets of sickness and disease and old age and trouble, the waters foam and roll with fury and pain and distress, trouble, times of trouble. The waters are roaring and trouble. You know, they talk about the heart of a wicked man is like the troubled sea. Well, this old body can get that way too, like the troubled sea. It's been torn up, just torn up. But I tell you this, in those times, the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our strength, and the Lord is our help. And it's coming. I've experienced it, some of you have, and experienced that when your body has such a close kinship with your spirit, and with your heart, and with your mind, and when you're hurt, it's hard to do anything else but hurt. And pray for help. That's right. Distress. Well, we're not fair. We're not fair. The Lord's our refuge. The Lord's my strength. And the Lord's my help in time of trouble. And I won't fear though these things happen. But now I come back to this verse 3, and I see the mountains mentioned again. But this time, there's no removing of the mountain, no carrying away of the mountain, no destruction of the mountain, but the mountain shakes. And it shakes with what? With these troubled waters. You see, verse 3 says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. That's this flesh when it pains, and the doctor said you've got cancer, you've got heart trouble, you've got a few days to live, and the waters stir, trouble comes. And the mountain doesn't destroy, doesn't remove, but it trembles. And that mountain is our faith, our trust in Him. Oh, surely not. That doesn't show. Oh, come on now. Listen to Paul over here in 2 Corinthians 4. You listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And don't you be surprised when your dear loved one dies and you say, Lord, why? What purpose is this going to serve? Why are you doing this? This dear lady that I saw last week, don't you know, in her loneliness, walking through that place where she is now, saying, why? What? Where is everybody? Why am I left like this? Don't you imagine? The mountain, no matter how strong it is and how sure it is, it's not destroyed. It's not removed. We don't lose our faith and lose our grace and lose contact with God, but it shakes. It shakes. And listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, where it said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's still a dirt mountain. But the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed. Don't understand it. But we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down. Awful down. Awful down. But we're not destroyed. Mountain shakes. But He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help. That's right. Though the earth be removed, all the securities and strength and foundation, though the mountains, our spiritual gods are gone, our churches no more, our physical bodies are heaving with pain and agony and trouble, and we tremble. But listen, There is a, you pause and consider that now, Selah. But he said, verse 4, there's a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. What is the city of God? The city of God's His church. I don't mean this 13th Street Baptist church. I mean His church, His body, His church, His people, His elect, His sheep. We're a holy temple of living stones. We're His body. He dwells in His church. That's what He says in verse 5. God's in the midst of her. This city of God, God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. She shall not be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God will help her. And that right early. That's the city of God. He founded the church. He built the church. He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's His church. It's His bride. It's His body. It's His. I will show you an illustration. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Adam. Verse 18, God said, verse 18, Genesis 2. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he'd call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. One in companion, beloved wife, didn't have her. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. That's the first Adam. You know who the second Adam is, don't you? Our Lord Jesus Christ. First Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the second Adam when he nailed on, when he was nailed to that cross, smitten of God and afflicted, wounded, slain. He died. Deep sleep. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And as he slept, God took one of his ribs out of him, closed up the flesh thereof. He took out of Adam, opened his side, reached in his side, and took out a rib, closed it up. And the rib which the Lord taken from man, he made a woman. He made Adam out of the dirt. He made that woman out of Adam's rib. That rib was in him all that time. She was in him. The woman was in Adam. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, in that sleep, out of his side flowed blood and water. And the Lord God took from him a bride, a church. Where did Eve come from? Out of Adam. Where was she? In Adam. Where were we? In Christ. Chosen in Christ for the foundation of the world. Considered in Christ, loved in Christ, secure in Christ, protected in Christ from eternity past. Church was in Him. God took it out of Him by His death. Made a woman. And what did He do? He brought that woman to Adam. Just like He brought us to Christ. That's right. He chose us in Christ. That's where we were, in Christ. Crucified in Him, dead in Him, buried in Him, risen in Him, seated in Him. And then one day God called us, and He brought us to Christ. And gave us to Christ. And we loved Him. Fell in love with Him. Eve had never seen Adam. There that man, God took that out of here and made this woman. There she stood. And that man woke up and God said, here's your husband. And brought her. And here's your wife. And He brought us to Christ. And listen. Adam said, this is bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman. She was taken out of a man. We're called Christians. Christians. We came out of Christ. We're His bride. Therefore shall a man leave everything, everybody, and cleave to that wife. And they'd be one. Christ doesn't have but one wife. That's his church. Always had that wife, always had that bride, always been in him, of him, from him, brought to him, given the gift of God. God gave her to Adam. And he embraced her, and he never had but one wife. And Christ has one church. That's right. Oh my, the city of God, that's the church. That's his bride, that's his people. God gave them to him. My Father, which gave them these, greater than all. And they won. What's this river? There is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad this city of God, this bride, this church, the holy place of the tabernacle. This river is God the Father. They have forsaken me, the fountain of waters. He's the fountain of waters. That river is God the Son. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David for sin and uncleanness. That's Christ. That fountain is the Holy Spirit. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. We have a river. The streams. Where are they? What are the streams from God? Justification, sanctification, redemption, righteousness, comfort, peace, promises, eternal life. The stream make glad the city of God. All the streams, the sun, the streams of light from the sun are innumerable. The gifts of God to us are innumerable. They make our heart glad. Even in sorrow, you can be glad in God. Even in pain, even in the most distressing times, you can rejoice in him. The heathen raged, verse 6. The kingdoms were moved. Where are the kingdoms of the heathen? They're destroyed. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. But the Lord, he's an enemy to those who don't believe. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Could I slip in something here that will be a great comfort to you? I looked at this carefully. The Lord of hosts is with us. Host, heavenly host, innumerable hosts. You think about the host of stars and satellites and sun and the moon. They tell me that it just goes out so far you can't even imagine it. There's so many you can't even imagine it. But he's the Lord of hosts. Host of people. Host of stars and everything else. And the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is with us. There are three sorts of God's presence. That's a privilege to the elect to enjoy, in which to rejoice, in which to find comfort. Three sorts of God's presence. The first is the Lord of hosts. That's his glorious presence. The Lord of hosts, he's in the heavens. His throne is in the heavens. The heaven of heaven cannot contain him. The earth is his footstool. The angels, the stars, the sun, the moon, all these things are his servants. He calls them by name. He knows every fish in the sea, every bird, not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. He reigns over all things, even the hairs of your head are numbered. That's his glorious presence. He's an almighty, everlasting, eternal, omnipresent, omnipotent, King of kings and Lord of lords, beyond imagination. And yet he's my God. He's my Father. He's my Lord. He cares for me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? But he does, in that majesty. Why should I worry? The Lord of hosts is with me. See what he's saying? The Lord of hosts. Well, the God of Jacob is our refuge. This is his gracious presence, his providential presence. Jacob, In one word, just a stinker. He betrayed his father. He betrayed his brother. He stole his birthright. He fled from home. And yet this God says, I'm the God of Jacob. Jacob I have a love. Esau, I hate him. I love Jacob. He's a friend of sinners. That's right. And he walked with Jacob every step. He lay down to sleep that night, made those rocks his pillow, and God appeared to him during the night. He said, I'm your God. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I bless you. I bless you. I'll be your God. I'll be the God of Jacob. And God blessed him down to that foreign land. He blessed him with his boys. He brought him back to Bethel. He supplied his every need. Walked with him every step. And that's my God. He's a Lord of hosts. But he ordered the life of this one man providentially. He chose him, he loved him, he called him, he kept him. And he named him a prince. What's your name? Jacob? No more. You're a prince. Prince of God. Now that'll comfort you. And he said, Selah. You just think about that a little while. Now when you're just down there and the earth's the moon, the mountains are gone and the waters are rolling and your own faith is shaking, the God of Jacob knows your name. You belong to him. That's right. He'll never leave you. Cast your care on him. He cares for you. Which you rather have, my help or his? Who you rather lean on, mama or him? I love mama, but I need him. I love my wife, but I have to have him. That's right. All right, last. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord. Redemption's his work. It's wonderful to behold the mighty works of God. Work, I finished the work Christ said you gave me to do. Behold his works. Be thankful he's given you eyes to behold his work. And he's given you a heart to understand it is not yours, it's his. Makes a difference. Behold the work of the Lord. It's not yours, it's his. And if he's given you eyes to behold his work and to know it's his work, then you'll be able to praise him. Praise him. But what desolations he's made, destruction. Oh, I hate to see that, because I'm just a man. But the desolations he's made in the earth, he'll make wars to cease to the end of the earth. He'll break the bow, cut the spear in sunder, and burn the chariot in fire. The destroyer will be destroyed, wars will cease, and the instruments of war will be destroyed. Our closing remarks. So be still. Be still. Oh, I wish I could learn that. David said, come and behold the works of the Lord. And then be still. And know that I'm God. And I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in this earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. There was a preacher whose name was Richard Cameron. Spurgeon wrote about him, and he said 3 days before he was killed at Amos, he was martyred. 3 days before he was martyred, July the 18th, 1680, that he preached on this psalm in his church and made this statement 3 days before they killed him. Be still and know that I'm God. My friends, this text forbids us to quarrel or murmur against God. All of us need to be afraid of this sin. Beware of it. It's a dreadful thing to find fault with God's dealings with us or say unto God, what doest thou? It's a good account of Aaron that when God destroyed his sons, Aaron held his peace. Be still. Let us then, while we bear the yoke of affliction, be still. Keep silence. Put our mouths in the dust. Because God gives no account of his matters to anyone. There be so many things I cannot see through or understand, but this I know, the Lord God is my refuge, my strength, and my help. That's his last message. Wonderful, wonderful word.